Imagine a pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep. A catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com. And listen to the NutriMedical Report on the Genesis Radio Network with open lines every weekday. NutriMedical.com, bringing nutrition and medicine together.
This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Welcome back, and we are now in the zone of Hartley Schlanger and the Rouge Foundation, one of the few places that has a level-headed view of the world, where if you negotiate with your potential collaborator and enemy, you can get rid of the enemy side of things, and you can actually stabilize the world so it shares technology, increases business, stabilizes the ecosystem as we move toward a clean energy that's fusion energy and other technologies. Moves toward a new economy where we reinvent what an economy is, including an economy with artificial intelligence, personal digital assistants, 3D organ and 3D printing of material for factories for that can be in your garage, and a whole different world where we can give, work visas to thousands of Chinese rail scientists so they can build high-speed rails and make Donald Trump the first rail president. Stabilize the world to present against any kind of missile attack of any kind. So not only, as LaRouche said years ago, share the technology for Star Wars, whose primary purpose was to prevent any missile attack against any nation, and probably one of the reasons why is the neocon Nazis, I call them, these maniacs, put in prison Lyndon LaRouche, is because they didn't want us, once we had developed the technology or collaboration, to present against hypersonic cruise missiles and attack weapons and bombers, which are being tested by us and by the Russians. That's why you hear these booms all over the world. But stabilize the world is safe. Now the 20-minute or 30-minute launch on warning time that we've had, and my friend Colonel Lynn Wills showed me all the advanced classified technology we have. That warning time is dropping down to 2 minutes, which is the same warning zone between India and Pakistan. It's freaking stupid because you don't have even time to think and literally to wipe your ass if you're going to the bathroom, and you have to decide on launching submarine launched and ground-based nuclear weapons against your potential enemy, even if it's a mistake because it's an incoming asteroid or comet. So what I see happening is we need to start thinking better in advance and collaborating on business and stabilizing the world ecosystem and war systems so we are secure but not literally a hair trigger away from stupid decisions to end the world. That's what's going on, and what LaRouche presents makes sense, but, you know, I don't, and unfortunately, I see some good things with Trump, other things, and people like Mattis, who's now in Munich, Germany. This is friggin' crazy. This guy needs to be not only out of the White House, he needs to be in a cage and a psych ward. He really is a nutball, isn't he?
Well, I assume you want to hear something from me, Bill, so.
I do. I didn't do that big dissertation. The rest of the show, you go ahead and you need to go through everything here because you got a lot of stuff to cover today. Go ahead.
Well, look, the Munich Security Conference was an abomination because right. What happened right before the Munich Security Conference, Mueller came up with these indictments of 13 Russians. Yeah. Now, let me start by saying something about that. This is the biggest hoax yet pulled by Mueller, and that's saying a lot. The argument that he has is that there was a troll farm of Internet operators who were intervening in the U.S. election. They have names, they have dates, they have ads, they have all this. And then they have to say, well, we know that it didn't change the outcome of the election. It didn't change the outcome of 10 votes. You know, there was a study done by John Helmer, who's a very significant Russian scholar, an American, but he lives in Moscow.
Right.
And he showed that there were only, in some cases, half a dozen of these emails were even opened. So then the other side is, who are these 13 people? A number of them were arrested in November 2016 by the Russian government because the Russian government was opposing what they were doing. They were not just supposedly targeting the U.S. They were involved in operations against the Russian security forces. There are suspicions that several of them actually were in contact with the FBI and the CIA. So this looks a lot like a sting operation that was set up by the United States. Now, why does Mueller do the indictment? Number one, none of them will ever be extradited, so he'll never have to present the evidence in court.
Right.
There'll never be a defense challenge to the evidence. But in the meantime, it was put out the day before the Munich Security Conference, so people like McMaster, Lindsey Graham, and others could go to this major international gathering and say, look, the Russians interfered. They're going to interfere in your elections. We've got to confront them. We've got to treat them like adversaries. And that's what this whole thing is about. It's to break the potential of a U.S.-Russian collaboration and has nothing to do with threats to our election, threats to our war threats, war danger from Russia. You know, the idea that Russia is going to overrun Eastern Europe is absurd. It has nothing to do with any of these things. It has to do with stopping Trump from moving ahead with a relationship with Putin and Xi Jinping that would be a commercial business relationship, a trade relationship, and a security relationship. That would break the policies.
Right.
The last two presidents who were committed to a policy of confrontation in order to continue the wars, the regime changes, and the bailouts and bail-ins that characterize the years of Bush and Obama. So that's the first thing. And what happened that was interesting at Munich is that the Russian Foreign Minister Lavrov responded very calmly. He said, look, there are 100 countries that the U.S. has intervened in elections in.
And he
has a list of the countries the U.S. has done that to. And he said, but look, that's not really the issue here. The issue is, why does the U.S. insist on attacking our country when we wish to have more cooperation with you? We wish to coordinate anti-terror, anti-drug efforts. And he was very strong. Now, then a woman who's the head of the Chinese parliament named Fu Ying gave a very powerful speech. And she said, China is not threatening anyone. In fact, we want to work with everyone. We're opening our technologies. We're opening our finances to help other countries develop. How is building a rail system in connecting major cities in Kenya and Djibouti, how is that a threat to Western security? And then she talked about the Xi Jinping's idea of a win-win philosophy. And then she just said, look, we're willing to work with you. Why don't you come talk to us instead of making these outrageous charges?
Right.
And in the meantime, Marco Rubio is saying that China is out to subvert the United States and our sphere of influence by aggressively building infrastructure in countries bordering on China.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, what about America with George Soros working with the CIA and only terminated 6 months ago by Donald Trump to do orange revolutions in countries all over the world, including Ukraine, where Newland actually has boasted the billions of dollars he spent to try to put in a neo-Nazi who wasn't properly elected to take over. They call him the Chocolate King, but he's actually the king of prostitution and drug use. This is a very obscene thing that's going on, isn't it?
Well, I want to get to the Ukraine thing in a moment because there's some very important updates on that. But let me just finish this broader picture.
Yeah.
Today, Mueller came up with a superseding indictment on Manafort and the idea that Rick Gates is going to plead guilty. Now, what's Gates pleading guilty to? This was Manafort's assistant.
Right.
Does it have anything to do with Russian interference in the election or Trump collusion with Russia? No, it has to do with what are probably bogus charges of money laundering and tax fraud. You know the old saying, if you can't get someone for a crime, indict them on tax fraud.
Right.
Now, what they did with Gates should terrify every single American. This is a guy who's not very wealthy. I mean, he's probably more wealthy than a lot of the listeners, but you know, he's not worth millions of dollars. He's had $1 million in legal fees for the first 6 months of his defense.
That's probably why he's willing to say, stop it, whatever I have to plead to, because I can't afford, I've mortgaged my house and I can't afford to do any more, right?
That's exactly right. He has four children, two of which are still young and at home, and he's being pressured with the typical prosecutor's hammer.
Yeah. I think that the actions of Mueller should get him doing the perp walk and wearing orange, too.
Yeah, it's obvious.
He needs to be running the actual show. He needs to be kind of like holding the flag for the perps, including Obama, Hillary, Newland, all these maniacs who are trying to destroy America and get it, bring us to war.
One out of four people listening to my voice right now.
Please continue.
Well, I want to pick up on this question of the Munich Security Conference because this is typical of the discussion process going on in Europe and the United States, which is very much anti-Russian.
Right.
The charges have been made that Russia tried to interfere in the French elections, and the French Interior Ministry just said, we have no evidence of any interference.
Right.
So you hear Americans say, well, it's not just us. They interfered in France also. And the French are saying there's no interference. Then they say the Russians interfered in Brexit. And Theresa May had to come out and say, well, we have no evidence of that. So, you know, the line of the Russian interference has become the dominant theme in the United States with no evidence whatsoever to support it. Now, what makes this especially dangerous is what's happening in Ukraine right now, where Poroshenko this week announced that he does support the reintegration proposal that passed the parliament when the parliament was threatened by neo-Nazis with clubs and guns to pass a bill saying that the Ukrainian army should retake the eastern Ukrainian provinces of Donbass and Luhansk.
Well, that violates the Minsk Accord, doesn't it?
Well, it violates the Minsk Accord. The signers of the Minsk Accord were Russia, the United States, Germany, and France. The Russians immediately called the Germans, the French, and the U.S. and said, you've got to join us in opposing this. And the other three countries were completely silent.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Poroshenko, the chocolate king, came out this week and he said,
why don't we call him what he is, actually, the prostitution and drug king?
Well, it's fine with me. You can call him whatever you want.
That's what he is, though. That's why he's a billionaire, and he was put in there by the neocons and Newland. Yeah.
Well, and also because he's under the control of his security agencies, including the Defense Ministry and the Interior Ministry, which are run by neo-Nazis from the Svoboda Party and Privy Sector.
Right.
These are right-wing neo-Nazi. And when I say neo-Nazi, they march under swastika banners.
Wow.
They trace their founding lineage to the Ukrainians who joined the Nazi SS during World War II and carried out the extermination of Ukrainian Jews, Ukrainian Poles, Ukrainian Russians, and Ukrainian Romanians. So these are the security forces that are now threatening to go into eastern Ukraine. Now, you and I know if the Ukrainian army actually attacks eastern Ukraine with a full barrage, that the Russians will move in very quickly and wipe them out.
Oh, yeah. They'll come in with an artillery barrage. That's how the Russians do. They move their artillery in first, make a zone, which is a total area of what's called, I call it a march toward, Kaliningrad, if you want to call it, where they destroy everything with their advanced artillery. Then they move them, their military forces, air force, and battle tanks, and it's just devastation. Well, the Russians aren't going to play around. And that 48 hours, those Ukrainians from Kiev will be wiped.
But, Bill, here's the question. They know that. Why would they do it? Because they're counting on the McMasters and the Mattises and the British lunatics in NATO to respond to a Russian attack, either militarily or to say, now, see, we need more sanctions against Russia. So since they can't prove anything about Russian meddling in elections or any other of the charges against Russia, they want to provoke a Russian military attack as an excuse to ratchet up the sanctions.
Well, the sanctions, I already heard, have bipartisan support in Congress, and this is nuts. We have the majority of Democrats and Republicans both supporting an insane policy, don't we?
Well, and it goes against what President Trump is saying. Trump made the point from the beginning that he thinks there's a solution to Ukraine working with Russia.
Right.
And yet the NATO forces, the CIA and others are saying, no, you can't do it because the Russians are in eastern Ukraine.
Isn't the current head of the NATO a Norwegian, and his policies and attitudes are scary, aren't they?
Well, he's not very popular in Norway either because the Norwegians don't want to have a confrontation with Russia. But here's the interesting point on this. The Russians have made the point repeatedly that they are not in eastern Ukraine. And they ask a simple question. With satellite technologies, with cell phone capabilities, if Russian regular army forces or even Russian mercenaries were in eastern Ukraine, why are there no pictures of them? Why have none of them captured? Why have none of them been marched in front of a camera and identified to the West? Because they're not there. The Russians have provided some logistical backup in terms of GPS satellite positioning. They've also provided a certain amount of people to do some training. But they're not there.
Right.
Much of the armaments that are there in eastern Ukraine were from the Ukrainian army because the
Exactly. You remember the Donbass kids a few years ago putting out literally selfies and so on YouTube and Facebook and so on? Please don't let them shell us. And these maniacs from Kiev, even after the Minsk Accord, were shelling civilian population zones in eastern Ukraine. This is nuts, isn't it? We're putting up with it in the West, and we should understand the same people who are doing this want to screw up America, too.
Well, Bill, here's the thing, the additional point before the break. A very close friend of the Schiller Institute and Mrs. LaRouche is Natalia Vitrenko, who's a political leader, a parliamentarian in Ukraine, who's been threatened repeatedly with death threats. Her party offices were burned. Her house was shot at. She's on trial on trumped-up charges. And she had one of our friends in the European Union court presented evidence on how the Ukrainian government is violating her human rights. And the EU supposedly takes these things seriously. So we're hoping that we'll get some pressure on the Ukrainian government. Meanwhile, the Ukrainian court indicated that they think the charges against her are bogus. So on March 13th, they'll have a final announcement. But in the meantime, the same Nazi hooligans trashed the Russian Cultural Center in Kiev when about 100 children were in the center having chorus practice and working on a play.
Oh, no.
They broke the windows. There were fires set. And then the two Russian banks in Kiev were also firebombed. So the Russians are saying, look, have you learned nothing from World War II and your experience with these kinds of Hitlerite forces? And apparently the West continues to push to keep this Poroshenko gang in power. Now, here's the other thing, really quickly. Who was it who was working with Victoria Nuland doing intelligence reports on what was going on in Ukraine in 2013 and 2014? None other than Christopher Steele of the Steele.
Oh, no. Yeah, actually, you know what? I've made a new name for him. I call the non-man of steel. How's that?
I'll give you more on that when we come back.
Amazing. I mean, the truth is like a slap in the face, isn't it? And you know, you look at this daily, the news, and you can't believe it can get even more obscene. They don't even try hard to lie well. That's what I find amazing. They don't even try to lie to us properly, so you might believe it. Much more to continue, please.
Well, I just in keeping with this whole question of the foolishness of the neoconservatives and the neoliberals, and you know, both the left and right have the same problem. I mean, just one example is when Trump tried to do an infrastructure project, an infrastructure bill, the deficit hawks said, well, it won't make money, so we're not going to do it. Whereas infrastructure never directly makes money, it improves the whole economy. But they don't understand that. And then the Democrats won't do a deal with him because they're opposed to Trump.
Right.
So here we have a tremendous need for upgrading American infrastructure. We see around the world, you know, I've been traveling, even in the island of Sardinia, which is a very poor place. They have an airport that's much more beautiful and modern than most of the airports in the United States.
You'll probably wonder if you were transported forward in time, say 30 years, 40 years from the past, and you arrived in America, you say, it's a third world country here.
Let me give you an example of that, Bill. One of my associates was in Shanghai over Christmas vacation. And he flew back to Berlin. And in Berlin, we have two really crappy old airports. And the new airport has been under construction for, I think, 15 years. It was supposed to open 3 years ago. It's nowhere close to open. So, you know, we see this, the fight over money, the banks refusing to make credit available for production, the Federal Reserve concerned about protecting the banks and not the physical economy. So this is part of what's hindering Trump from delivering on his promises. But here's the other shocker, and this should be a shocker for people. I've attended two conferences recently on Africa, and the Africans are now taking the attitude that they're not going to look for handouts, they're not going to propitiate the Western bankers. They're going to develop their economies as they wish to do so. Why can they do this? Because the Chinese are coming in with credit. The Chinese are coming in and hiring Africans and training them in engineering, training them in material processing and machine tool production, building factories in Africa. Now, what people need to realize is that while Africa as a whole is still suffering terribly from hundreds of centuries of European colonialism, and a brain drain. Africa is a continent that's going to have over a billion people by 2030. Most of them are young. Many of them are becoming educated. They're going to schools in China, in India, in Russia, all over Europe, even in the United States. In Houston, Texas, you have large numbers of African students. And they're going back to Africa because now they can apply their skills to building their own countries. So one of the great projects that's been postponed for 30 years is the replenishing of the water in Lake Chad. Now, Lake Chad is one of the largest natural lakes in Africa, one of the largest in the world. It was. It's been reduced by about 60% as the Sahara Desert has moved south because of desertification.
Right.
Now, there are 40 million people who depend on the water from Lake Chad as it's disappearing. They're all going to be refugees, many of them into Europe, within the next decade if something isn't done. But this was something that was foreseen 30, 35 years ago.
Right.
So a friend of mine, who's an Italian engineer, drafted a proposal called Transacqua, which is through a series of canals and pumping stations, moving 5% of the water from the Congo River north, mostly using gravity, to replenish Lake Chad to have water power, hydropower electricity, to create new areas for agriculture and for cities. Now, this is the area where Boko Haram, the terrorist group, has been taking advantage of the poverty to move in and recruit their quasi-Al-Qaeda-type forces. But this proposal would benefit six nations surrounding Lake Chad. Most of the water from the Congo River flows into the ocean, so taking 5% of it is not a big deal.
Right.
It's a costly project, so no aid agency or international fund would fund it. And the Europeans kept saying, make it smaller. And they're coming up with ideas, basically building fences around the area to keep the people there rather than doing something to improve the economy. So the Chinese, a year ago, at our urging, I have friends who were on the Lake Chad Basin Commission, which is the multinational organization proposing this, went to the Italian government and the Chinese government and said, look, why don't you work together to help fund this process? So next week there's going to be a meeting in the capital of Nigeria to sign a memo of understanding between Nigeria, the Central African Republic, Cameroons, and a couple of other countries, plus China and Italy, to start this project. They figure they can finish it in 5 to 6 years, and within less than a decade, the benefits of this will extend to not just the 40 million people in the Lake Chad region, but to all of Nigeria and the surrounding countries. Now, what's the problem? The European Union is saying the Italian government shouldn't put money into this because Italy is not supposed to fund, is not supposed to go into debt for projects. Secondly, the British-sponsored court in Nigeria has suddenly discovered that they think there's some possible fraud that was committed by the Lake Chad Basin Commission because they're setting up conferences with the money they're getting from governments. But the conferences are to pull together the people who are going to build the project. Now, I assure you from my friends who are going to be participating in this, they're not exactly staying in five-star hotels in Abuja, Nigeria.
Right, yeah.
So here you have a perfect example of a great project that should bring in German engineers, Austrian mining and digging companies, and American companies in terms of the machines that will be needed and the technologies, the electric transformers
right.
and so on. And instead, the bureaucrats are saying, no, we can't do it because Africa should only have small-scale sustainable projects like solar cells and battery companies.
You're kidding.
Do you know what the Africans say? The Africans are saying, we want your technology, but we don't want your arrogance, and we don't want your financial sabotage.
Right. Yeah.
So
another thing that we talked about was,
I say the West is being frozen out of the potential of this new paradigm.
That's a very good project. Now, we've had Paul Power on the program. He's head of the Primary Water Institute in Eureka, California, and he's been to 57 nations over the last 60 years. He's an old guy. And they bring up what's called oasis water. Now, most people don't realize that 10,000 to 15,000 years ago, most of the Sahara Desert was very tiny. In fact, most of it was a green area where animals and so on were around. In the history of the world, that's a blip. One of the things that Muammar Gaddafi was doing, which is people don't necessarily like him, the guy was a genius for doing things for his own people. And most genius thing he did was 75% of the new water was oasis water at 1,400 to 2,200 feet below ground. Was British drilling company bringing 10 drilling rigs, and when NATO came in, they bombed the drill rigs, pretending they were rocket launchers when they knew it damn well. It was a British company drilling for primary oasis water, which they had their own lakes and reservoirs, and they were building a whole new system, which if done across the areas of Africa, Africa is a new growth place. If you take the United States, you could drop the entire continental U.S. into Western Africa, and it would disappear even in a part of the Sahara. That's
Bill,
how big Africa is. People don't know this, do they? And they don't want the Africans or the people in the Middle East to benefit from oasis. My great-grandfather owned the largest caravan traveling Hizabasha between Syria, Damascus, Syria, and China twice a year. My great-great-grandmother walked beside the camels twice a year to China. And they only lived because there was oasis water. So what you say about the Congo, why don't they do it? Because the West doesn't want Africans to prosper. Look at this movie, Black Panther. People need to realize that God is colorblind. He wants the world to preserve all the peoples of Earth, every nation, including the Africans, to prosper and not be suppressed. Right?
Well, I have some more to say, but I'll wait for that.
When we come back, you're on the stage. Please continue.
Yeah, let me pick up on what we were saying on Africa, because I want to make the most important polemical point that people need to know. Africa is developing. Ethiopia had a 7.8% growth rate last year. The Chinese just finished a railroad from Dakar to Djibouti. There are other railroads being built that are bringing the inland African countries to have port capabilities through high-speed rail.
Right.
These things are happening. Now, let's take a look at the worst anti-African racist of the last generation. His name was President Barack Obama. You know, supposedly a son of Kenya. Whether he was actually born there or not, I don't know.
Yeah.
But he certainly played to the African-American audiences in the United States that he wants to help Africa. Now, what did he do? He sent American troops into 23 African countries. You remember the Americans who were killed recently in Niger? They were sent there to do what? To not just counter terrorism, but to destroy governments. The soldiers don't know what they're sent there for. The CIA deploys them to become factions in countries that, instead of being able to have a unified policy, end up getting broken apart.
Right.
Now, when Obama went to Africa last year, during his last year as president, he gave a press conference, and he said, "I see a bright future for Africa." But the Africans have to realize something. You're not going to have air conditioning. You're not going to have cars. Because if you develop that kind of economy, the planet will boil over.
Oh, my gosh.
Then he said, but we have very good new technologies that are environmentally friendly and that will provide you with an ability to survive and live. And the Africans looked at him and said, who is this maniac? This is worse than Cecil Rhodes. This is worse than these slave traders. He's telling us we can't develop a modern economy.
Right.
So in many African countries, Barack Obama is considered to be the worst racist imperialist of this recent generation. And I think that's important for Americans to know, because the Africans want to work with the United States. They want to work with China. They want to work with Germany. But they want to do it, as one of them said to me, I want to be able to have you look me in the eye and talk with me about our common goals, as opposed to look down on me and tell me what we should do.
That's amazing, isn't it?
So, and here you see something interesting. That as I told you, I met with some Africans at this conference, and they asked me, what do you think of Trump? And I said, look, you know, Trump's a mixed character, but he's certainly not a racist, and he's certainly not opposed to working with other countries. In fact, it's the opposite. It's the people who are opposing him that don't want the United States to be engaged. And people said, you know, I'm glad you said that, because I can't believe the way he's treated by the American press. And one guy said to me, this is interesting, from an African country, he said to me, so you're with LaRouche. Wasn't LaRouche prosecuted by the deep state? Are they giving Trump the LaRouche treatment? This was an ambassador from an African country. So when people in the United States think of Africa as some kind of backward place where people don't know what's going on in the world, They're very well informed. They're very well informed on internal politics in Germany, where we still don't have a government after 5 months after the election. So, you know, I think that the world, as you were saying earlier, people don't know these things. The world is a very different place than what's presented in the American media and also in the American educational system. There are things we don't know about history, including the history of our own nation.
Right. And for example, when you talk about World War One, was traditionally run by the British and the British basically to stop the Germans and the Russians from collaborating to build a Trans-Siberian railway. I mean,
well, there were two railways that were targeted by the British, the Trans-Siberian and the Berlin to Baghdad Railroad, because the British believed that they have this theory, which is really just an excuse for empire called geopolitics. But they say that if the Eurasian heartland links up with the World Island, and what's the World Island? It's the Middle East and Africa, and the Eurasian heartland is Eastern Europe and Russia. That if Eastern Europe and Russia link up with the World Island, they'll control the world. And so how would they do that? Through the Middle East, through Northern Africa, through the Mediterranean, and then reaching into India and China. So for the British, the Russian Empire was the greatest threat, and when it looked like the Germans were going to start working with the Russians, they made the decision in the 1880s, early 1890s, that they had to get rid of Bismarck in Germany, and they had to break up a Russian-German alliance. And they finally succeeded with the Entente Cordiale with France in 1902, and then with the Triple Entente between France, Russia, and Britain. And the only reason Russia joined it was because they lost a war to Japan in 1904 and 1905, which was funded by the British. The British funded the Japanese side. And then the British funded the 1905 revolution in Russia, which almost brought down the Tsar. And so Russia was so weakened by these events that they ended up in an alliance with Britain. And what was the British plan? To have the most of the war fought between Germany and Russia. And the Germans, just as they did in World War II, shocked the British by turning west first and going into France and Belgium.
Wow.
Now, if you know that history, then you see what happened to the Munich Security Conference. Lavrov, the Russian foreign minister, is right. They've learned nothing from history.
Right.
These geopolitical, unilateralist neocons, nothing. They're the biggest fools on the planet, but their foolishness threatens you and me and our children and everyone's children on this planet. And they've got to be stopped.
But you know how you can look back? If you just stand, because mankind is the force of God to create the energy flux density, as LaRouche says, to bring about a new world and a new age where we leap off the planet Earth to become a galactic civilization. And when we look at the situation here, if we look at ourselves 10, 20, 100 years from now, and we look back to what decisions we should make, so we stabilize things like against AI taking over the world, war mechanisms setting up so the trigger zone is less than 2 minutes, so we trigger off a nuclear, chemical, biological war, or a weapons warfare involving climate and geotectonics from space-based weather systems. We have to understand, we're now at the precipice where God's saying, okay, mankind, do you want to choose life or not? And what Linda Linden's saying is, we can now make decisions that can choose to have an economy and collaboration and life and strong nations like strong African nations and a strong America. But we need nation states. And we need a government and a world that's not run by globalists that want to reduce the population based on carbon. That's what Obama did. And then he's saying to the Africans, don't worry, you'll never drive an SUV or car, because he doesn't want to face the fact that the idiot doesn't know anything about oceanography, that the upper 10 meters of the oceans makes 80% of the world's oxygen.
Think about this quote from Obama. He said, yeah, if you try to have an American-style standard of living, the planet will boil over. Therefore, you must sacrifice so we can do that.
Yeah.
And this is the man who is supposedly the link between Africa and the United States.
Wow.
A complete fraud.
Oh, my gosh. It's so disgusting, isn't it?
Yeah.
And the thing is, he's not even a valid American. In fact, what I found is I have an intel agency last year gave me all the high-tech classified sources, because I have classified people listening to my show, showing that Obama is not even a lineal American. By American law, you have to be born in American soil. This guy who filed at the Occidental University is a foreign student. And then he came in here supported by globalists like Zbigniew Brzezinski and the globalists. He was brought in here to create America as a post-colonial nation, to crush America, the only nation state that can prevent the whole world from every nation state being destroyed.
To make the United States subordinate to the global bankers' cartel.
Exactly, but also, right, but the thing is, once you get rid of America, every nation, New Zealand, Germany, every nation comes under the crunch of a globalist system that has trade zones, not nations.
Yeah.
Right?
That's the British plan, and Obama was a British operative.
Exactly. Amazing. Wow. Every time I do the show with you, I get wiser, and that's what I really enjoy. I hope you out there listen. Go to LaRouchePAC.com. Look at all these links and articles and videos. Go to EIR Executive Intelligence Review, LaRouchePUB.com. Get wiser, get involved, become an active member. Now we have CPAC going on. Let's make our nation safer. Let's develop trade treaties that are reciprocal. Let's treat fellow citizens of Earth and other nations and nation states and peoples with respect and honor. And let's bring peace, not war. That's what Linda LaRouche stands for and LaRouche Foundation. Let's be agents of the energy flux density of a future world and a people that can leap off planet Earth to become a galactic civilization.
If you owe money to the IRS,
nutritional drink that your whole family will love, NutriMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutritious meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutriMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com. NutriMedical.com for the whole family.